You're listening to AdLib, a podcast for the advertising nerd in you. Recorded and produced at Pushbutton Productions in downtown Orlando. PushbuttonProductions.com. Let's see what's in store for you today.
The campaign of the week, Pure Protein Bars. Delicious. Actually, Josh, have you had these? Like, have you had Pure Protein Bars?
Yes. That's the one that I lost a tooth in a few years ago, but we'll talk about that later.
When you were a toddler, or?
No, when I was about 24.
He was functioning like a toddler.
That's awesome.
So, Pure Protein Bars, the campaign of the week. It's pretty good. We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is, I occasionally like to talk about things that I actually know what I'm talking about, rather than just being full of shit all the time. So
I haven't witnessed it yet.
I thought we'd talk about beer. You know, it's one of my favorite four-letter words, first of all. But specifically, the Budweiser campaign, this thing they're doing that I guess is supposed to coincide with the Olympics this summer. They're changing the name, they're changing the label, I should say, to America on the cans. Mm.
And I will be doing our lightning round, and we will be talking about Calvin Klein's new racy ads, the fun texting and driving billboards that have come out, and a little bit about what Netflix has planned for the future.
Groovy.
All right. Sounds good.
All that, plus useless commentary and tasteless jokes on AdLib. Here are John, Yash, and Brian.
So it's John's birthday. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're all celebrating. We're actually, this morning, we are in our bikini bottoms because we literally only came in to record this podcast.
Do you really do that lousy a job shaving?
Yeah.
Nice muff.
Yeah, thank you. We came in literally to record this podcast and to drink this alcohol to celebrate John's birthday, and then we're going to the river.
I believe there should be a puke bucket in the corner, just in case.
It is a bit early to be drinking whiskey straight.
It's coming back up.
Oh, but the show wouldn't be the same without it.
No, no.
Boys and girls.
Mm. Absolutely. So, We got some good stuff to talk about. Brian's been seething all morning. He's got something that he wants to chat about, I suppose. So we can get into the Brian's. What's eating Brian?
God almighty.
What's eating Brian?
So, you know, usually on the weekend, I like to sort of go into my alternate universe, you know. I like sea spray and tiki bars, you know. That's what I want from my
weekend. You're the envy of most people.
I think he is Jimmy Buffett of this office. He's eventually turning into Jimmy Buffett.
Wasted away again. Anyway, that was my country version of Margaritaville. But this weekend was a little different because, I've been hanging out with this girl.
Mm. She's cute, too.
And she's adorable. Yeah. And she's smart. Mm. And I liked her a lot. So I decided to tell her how I felt.
Mm. Ooh. That always goes over well.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the footage of the Hindenburg crashing in flames?
Oh, no.
It wasn't that pretty.
Oh, God. What?
I feel like I'm walking around on two stubs right now. Talk about chopped off at the knees.
What? Okay, so walk us through what happened.
I can't be specific. It was just...
But first of all...
Were you in a public place?
No.
No, okay.
Well, yes, but nobody was around.
Okay.
So, technically, no.
First of all, Brian's always got three women on his arm.
Yeah, so...
Let's start there.
Well, so, you know, I wanted to...
I'm not criticizing, I'm explaining to the audience what they need to know about you.
I wanted to keep one for a while, and that'll teach me.
Which is pretty unusual
for
you.
Lord almighty. You know, remember Stephen Wright, the comedian? He used to say, I almost had a psychic girlfriend, but she broke up with me before we met. It was kind of like that.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Bitches be tripping.
But it was good because that's pretty much, you know, one of the reasons God invented beer, I think. So that's why I figured we would talk about that.
To meet women and then to get over them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So next weekend, back to the sea spray and tiki bars.
Back to naked girls with joints.
Yeah. Way better. That was way better.
Well, so John, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
And what's on the calendar?
One more year on the planet.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thankful to have been, on Earth this long. So happy about that. Uh-huh. I do want to talk about I want to talk about the power of our mothers.
Okay.
Ooh. And not just ours, but you know, the collective power of our mothers in
though
general.
Our mothers, specifically our mothers, are all pretty,
yeah,
pretty fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm a car guy, and about 15 years ago, my dad and I built a BAG in the backyard at their house. That's big ass garage.
Ah.
And
somehow I knew that.
Yeah. So, you know, he's been gone for a while, but about a year ago, my mom had some landscaping done in the backyard, and one of these guys was digging and cut the power to the shop. Now, I don't know how he stayed alive.
Okay.
Because it's 240 volts going to the shop. That's not messing around, okay?
Did he get shocked at all?
No. I wasn't there. I mean, maybe he just, like, evaporated into the ether, and we have no one seen him since. Because I swear to God, I don't know how he survived. I don't know. Maybe his bones are made of rubber. I don't know. So anyways, I haven't had power in the shop for a year. And so this past weekend, it was Mother's Day, it was my birthday, and we're sitting out on the porch, and a friend of the family comes over who lives in that part of town. And so we're sitting in the back, and we're just kind of talking whatever, and he's like a salt of the earth, like, you know, he can fix anything or whatever. And we start talking about how I haven't had power back there. And he's like, well, it can't be that hard to repair. And I was like, I know, I just haven't had, every time I'm there, we've got stuff to do or, you know, whatever. We start talking and, like, you know, had a couple beers. The motivation and the ambition and the confidence starts to build up a little bit.
Beer and 240 volts, what could go wrong?
And a couple of amateurs, yeah. Right? If it's perfect. So, like, we start gathering the tools, right? The proper accoutrement, if you will. And so, like, my kids are in the pool, and my mom and my wife are sitting there.
About to witness dad shoot across the yard.
Beer, and, like, 240 volts, and water. This is getting good.
Yeah. And, like, we're getting ready to walk out there. Like, boots are laced up. And my mom turns around and goes, "You're not doing that."
Good old mom.
And I'm like,
what?
I'm a middle-aged man, you know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me what to do.
Oh, moms can. Well, they'll try.
And I obeyed.
Yeah?
And I obeyed.
She must have known something. Mom might have saved your life, though.
Yeah, she might have.
More than once.
To Mother's Day.
To Mother's Day.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Cheers.
All right.
Where's the puke bucket?
We got some campaigns of the week to talk about, or just one, really.
Yeah, it's Pure Protein Bars. It's basically the people plan, God laughs kind of thing. So it's all about the derailleur. So better have a protein bar with you, because shit goes down. So the first spot is a kid in front of the school, and he's like talking about his mom dropping him off, and you know, you've got plans to go see Gam Gam, and you're gonna go to the gym and all this stuff, and the kid pisses himself. And he goes, guess what? You're going home to get me pants. So you better have a snack with you. Right. But the best one is the pilot. The pilot is
that's a good one.
Yeah, and there's a link, I'm sure, posted.
Yeah, so,
so.
I think what, you know, the ones that are around it, you'll see the top one and the bottom one, they're okay. But the pilot one is so good because he's a great actor. And I think that he communicates so well, not only with his words, but his facial expressions. And we've all been there. So we all know how much of a pain in the ass it is to be delayed on a flight. And then at the end, he just goes into this pilot voice and just, it's perfect. And the music's really good too. The music that they have in it is really good. And it's all about the derailleur. So yeah, check it out.
This is a great example of a big idea in terms of, you know, seeing the big picture, right?
Yeah.
Because this campaign has got legs for days.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who carry protein bars with me, pretty much.
In your purse?
In my pocketbook. I carry Clif bars. I carry protein bars, particularly if I'm traveling.
Chewing gum, tampons.
Right. All of that. Nail polish.
Yeah. I feel like it could have been a lot. The pilot one is so good, it really overshadows the other two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the Grandma's Cookies ones, all of them were pretty good. You know, they were all pretty damn good. This one, I felt like they kind of missed the mark.
The execution was a little weak on...
Yeah.
I hate to criticize a child actor, but I feel like they could have cast that kid a little better.
Yeah. And then, you know, the one at the end with the guy in the car, like...
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. That was pretty lame.
Yeah, it was pretty lame. But the pilot one was so good.
When I saw these, I thought, first of all, like the subtitle of the campaign could be Shit Happens. And everybody can identify with that. You know, yeah. The derailers, the things that happen in your day and in your life that screw you up. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if it's like, do you really get the brand? Do you get the brand recognition out of that? Or do you just get the identification of like, oh, yeah, that's happened to me? It made me think of the Energizer campaign. Do you remember this? It was kind of considered a failure for a while because people knew that the bunny meant batteries, but they didn't know for a long, long time that it meant Energizer specifically.
Should have had audio logo.
Should have had an audio logo. Now, my protein bar story. So pure protein. It's not a protein bar that I consume a lot of. Whatever I try, whatever's on sale. But back in third grade, I got a pair of rollerblades for my birthday.
Oh, you were cool then.
Yeah, this is 1993, must have been. 92. So, you got a pair of rollerblades.
You finally worn out the little red wagon? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
My brothers took me to the park down the street, and I was rollerblading. I don't know what they were doing, but they were much older. And so I get into a race with my oldest brother. I guess he must have been on rollerblades, too. I fell down and busted my face and cracked my front tooth.
Nice.
And so it's like a Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber chip tooth. And so, whatever, obviously it was fixed. And so one day I'm at the old radio station, and we were getting ready to go on John's bachelor party trip.
Oh, good time.
And yeah, this was like the day before we're getting ready to go on his bachelor party. And so I go to the Union and I bought a pure protein bar.
One of these very protein bars.
Oh, and as I'm walking down towards the sales office right in front of the AM 850 studio, I crunch right into it and didn't realize it, but it popped the filling, like, fell out.
Nice.
And I chewed into it. And I mean, it's not the fault of the protein bar. It's like a dense cookie bar, and I probably should have thought about it. So then I walked
around. These things
are
really hard and crunchy. What the hell?
So then I was broke, so broke back then. I walked there. I actually was able to pop that thing right back in to place. And
like super glue?
No, I would pop it in and take it out to eat and then put it back in for like months. I went on your bachelor party. Have you not heard this story?
This is one of the greatest.
Excuse me, I got to take my filling out.
This is exactly what I was doing. So we go on John's bachelor party, and it's in Vegas, and we are at the casino, and I think we're getting ready to go out to dinner, and there is a mile-long walk. If you've been to those Vegas casinos...
It's the Flamingo,
but if you've been to those casinos, the hallways and the rooms are really far apart. Like, you have to walk legitimately probably a quarter mile or more to get from, you know, your room to your friend's room, potentially, which is what happened here, because he was in a suite and I was up in another room. So we're getting ready to go out, and so I'm leaving the room where John and his friends are and going to the other room where a bunch of us... other guys are, and at some point in the walk to and fro, the filling fell out of my mouth, and I didn't notice it.
Well, and the precursor to the story is you had taken a really strong nap, and I woke you up.
That's
so
right.
You were in a daze walking down the hallway, so he wouldn't have noticed.
I didn't know. I must have had
that
my
the
mouth,
tooth fell out.
I must have had my mouth slightly agape in a like Neanderthal-esque walk down the hallway. So
knuckles dragging.
Right. So I get to his room. I go, oh my god, like my tooth fell out, and we're literally about to go to this really nice steakhouse and go to, you know, some fine Vegas establishments, and so I'm like, oh my god, well we got to go look. It's legitimately a quarter mile or more between our rooms, and it's one of those hotel carpets that has all the designs on it. You know what I mean?
It's
1,000 colors and patterns. And
oh, so everything blends in?
Everything. And now you're
every
looking
every little pube and the tiniest piece of dirt that falls on it.
So we go out. I mean, forget it. I'm not going to find it. So we go out, drink, party, strip clubs, whatever. All the, you know, I'm making fun of myself to the strippers because I'm like, I'm missing a tooth.
Like you have a choice.
Right. So have a great time. Come back. I mean, we are drunk. I mean, it's one of those nights where you're just so, so epically wasted. They go to sleep, leave the room on the walk back to my room. In the middle of the hallway, 6 to 8 hours later, I spot that thing from 50 yards out on the carpet. And I was like,
super drunk power vision.
And I picked it up and I wiped it off and I whipped it right back into my mouth.
What was it, like the size of a pea? How big was this thing?
It's tiny. I mean, you can probably see the chip. It's just that little corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's really tiny.
Oh, my God.
So.
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
That's a good one.
Advertising.
Well, he called me on his way back to the room and said, I found my tooth. And I'm in bed, and I'm like, you know, I'm falling.
At 3:30 in the morning.
And all I remember saying, wow, you really are the chosen people.
It's like winning the lottery.
Because, like, you know, and leading up to going out, Yash, myself, and like two of my friends walked up and down that mile stretch looking for that tooth.
Yeah.
We went, we took different elevators.
Yeah.
I mean, we all like, we all looked and none of us could find the damn
nobody
thing.
Nobody vacuumed. Nobody kicked it. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was so drunk that also on that walk back, I picked up a plate of somebody's food that they had ordered room service and left the remnants outside. I picked up somebody's, like, fries and, like, was walking
and nom-nommed.
Which is not something, I mean, I'm kind of a germaphobe. I wouldn't do that in life.
Were they still warm?
I don't remember.
Was there ketchup?
I was so drunk. But I found my fucking tooth. I can't believe it. What do you got, Brian?
Beer. Everybody knows about Budweiser, right? If you're an American, and probably if you live in many, many other countries, God only knows.
Mm.
They have this campaign that they're doing, a patriotic rebrand, temporarily.
Okay.
Budweiser is putting the word America on their cans.
They're eliminating the word Budweiser.
Yes, correct. I mean, except in the logo and stuff like that. But and then they're putting catchy little phrases in there that we would all recognize as Americans, like indivisible since 1776. E pluribus unum, things like that. Which, do you know what that means, by the way?
Out of many, one.
You did know that. Very good, yeah. So,
boy.
They're doing this. It's kind of a tie-in with the Olympics. It's they've done other summer campaigns like this. I guess the message is, if you're a good old American, you will drink Budweiser this summer. I don't like the campaign, and I think that you do. Is that right?
I think it's interesting. They're trying to create a deeper association between drinking Budweiser and being an American, which I think is fair, given that it's, I mean, I would say as a culturally relevant beer, I think a Budweiser probably takes it, even though they're not owned by Americans anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to say. To me, that's the catch, is they're owned by InBev, which is a Belgian-Brazilian conglomerate. And now, here's the thing. Somebody that I know, as soon as this came out, he commented on Facebook, not actually owned by Americans. That was his first reaction.
I mean, you're kind of asking for it.
Yeah. But I think if you're a Budweiser drinker, you probably don't care.
Right.
Agreed. And I saw something on Twitter, too. It said, mass-produced and not owned by America.
Yeah.
How American.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you drink a lot of Budweiser, it's not like you have much taste anyway.
Right. See, for me, it's weird because I'm kind of a beer snob. Like, I have consumed Budweiser.
Right.
I would much prefer not to.
This does not touch their last campaign. I think it was their last campaign, the Proudly a Macro Brew.
Well, they're still running that.
God, that's so good.
And I'll tell you that the music is so good in those spots.
That campaign is spot fucking on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of good stuff. You know, going back to the Dalmatians, you know, the Super Bowl things, the horse and the lost dog and all that. Some good stuff.
Yeah.
This one, this idea doesn't work for me, but I am kind of a beer snob. It does. It made me curious, though. Talk about a successful brand. Do you want to hear the top five selling beer brands in the United States?
Please.
Oh, please do.
Bud Light, number one. Number two, Coors Light. Number three, Miller Light. Number four, Budweiser. Number five, Mick Ultra. So three of the top five selling beers are Anheuser-Busch or InBev.
What's the third?
Miller Light and Coors Light.
Those are South African.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was kind of surprised that Americans still drink so much swill with all the, all you hear about microbrews and craft beers.
Hey, I'm just going to have a little tangerine wing.
I have consumed.
At least... love a tangerine wheat, though.
I'll have a, I'll have a Stella Artois, says Brian.
Yeah, see, I like Stella, and that's InBev, but and I have consumed a Coors Light, my ex-roommate. That's all she drank. God bless her. I love her dearly, but I did consume Coors Light occasionally when the distance from the couch to the refrigerator was much shorter than the distance from the couch to the liquor store.
When you say your ex-roommate, are you talking about your ex-wife?
No.
I'm like, that's kind of a shitty thing to call my ex-wife.
No.
Well, when we toured Coors Brewery and had the beer there.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. It was so good. But yeah. it was fresh.
First of all, you're in Colorado, Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
What's the name of that city?
Golden.
Golden, Colorado. Yeah, it's awesome. So cool.
And it's funny because the people, the Brian Uppity types, if you will, were like, why are you going to go to our Coors? And like, there's like all these other microbreweries around that you can go tour, you know. And I think,
like, I don't want to go into the back of a shopping mall for a beer tour.
Did they let you sample beer?
Yes.
And it doesn't cost anything.
We had a picture. I still have it, of a beer sitting on a table with your name written on it, and a napkin, and we wrapped it around the beer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we were thinking about you.
See, I would do that because that's two of my favorite four-letter words together: free and beer. I have no problem with that.
See, when you go to a foreign country and they ask if you want to tour the capital, I'm like, no, fuck you. I live in America. I've already seen the capital. So if I'm gonna go on a fucking beer tour, I'm gonna go on the biggest damn beer tour there is. I did a tour of the Heineken factory when I was in Amsterdam.
How was that?
That was great.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
That was really great, and I don't drink Heineken. I guess the Heineken they serve in Europe is different than the Heineken they serve here.
Yes.
Much tastier at the factory. I felt the same with Coors. Much, much tastier at the factory than if you bought it off the shelves.
I feel like lightning.
So this week's lightning round, cue the music. Well, I mean the actual music.
Lightning round.
There's actual music for this?
There is.
Oh, man, we're moving up in the world.
We are. Calvin Klein has released a series of new racy ads. Panties.
Shocking.
With women in compromising and somewhat sexual positions, some would say.
Who would have thought?
So the interesting thing is obviously they're pushing the envelope a little bit, which, fine. Titillating, if you will. But they are not backing off on it. I mean, they're obviously getting a lot of pushback. They're getting a lot of pushback from a bunch of different groups. And they are basically saying, fuck you. Like, we're going to do this is what we want to do, so deal with it.
Isn't it a little late to worry about using sex to sell? I mean, haven't we kind of been doing that for ever?
Yeah.
Right. And Calvin Klein's known for that, right? They've always done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a quick lightning round. No problem here.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I'm good with it. Although, you know what Calvin Klein makes me think of? Back to the Future.
It's written all over your underwear, Calvin.
Why do you keep calling me Calvin?
I've never seen purple underwear before.
There's something to think about for the rest of the day. Michael J. Fox's underwear.
Texting and driving, obviously a major problem.
Tell us about it, Yash.
There's a huge problem.
Tell us all about how you're against this act.
I didn't say I was against it. This is why I moved across the street from the office, so that I would no longer have, I could text and walk, okay? So... obviously, it's a big deal, and in Ontario, I guess more people are dying from texting and driving, or seriously injured from texting and driving, than people involved in drinking and driving incidents.
Isn't it a leading cause of death among teens in the U.S.?
Probably.
Well?
I wouldn't be surprised. An agency, John Saint and Partnership, created a campaign for a fake funeral home called Waltham Funeral Home.
Oh, I didn't know it was fake.
There's a fake funeral home, and the billboards say, text and drive.
Wow,
simply.
I love it that.
It says, text and drive, as if to say, you're creating business for us, keep doing it. And then, of course, you go to a website for Waltham Funeral Home, it's all up front, and it's just a big PSA to get people to stop texting and driving. What do you think about this as a vehicle to get the conversation started? It's obviously worked somehow.
Well, I think what they're finding is that no one gives a shit. Like, you could put all these stats out there, and, like, I think it's kind of like a thing where it's like, this isn't going to happen to me. I'm fine. I can do this. I'm good.
Right.
I'm better than most.
Right.
And so it's like now we're having to go to these kinds of measures because no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
And if you in Central Florida, like the amount of single vehicle accidents is like through the roof, and it's because they're looking down at their phone and then they have to swerve.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was convinced that she was so bright, which she was, but that she was such a successful multitasker that she could do that better than anyone else and nothing could possibly ever happen to her.
And?
Well, she's still alive, so I mean, I guess
she turns out she's right.
I felt like there was a tragic ending coming.
No. But every time I go down I-4 these days and I see someone going 50 miles an hour in the left lane and they got their friggin' phone in their face,
yeah,
it makes me wish that I had hand grenades.
Well then you might kill Yash one day, I'm just saying.
And finally, Netflix is introducing a late night talk show. It's going to be a 3-day run every week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Chelsea Handler is going to be hosting it.
Is she funny or is she just...
She's outrageous.
So is she outrageous to be outrageous?
She's out... No, I feel like... With her, it's authentic. Like, she's outrageously alcoholic and unapologetic. She takes drugs and unapologetic. Like, she is that old school comedian, just doesn't give a shit, will make fun of anybody.
Okay.
Wow. And just based on that description, I feel like I should like her.
You should. You would. You would love her. Yeah, she's like a throwback to that old style of comedy where it's just completely who gives a shit. Anyway, so she's the one hosting it. But I guess my question is, do you feel like daily programs, because Netflix is not somewhere you go to watch daily shows. That's more of a Hulu thing.
It's a little odd, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, are you thinking that this is a smart move for Netflix? I mean, obviously they're trying something out here.
So you can watch it at any time?
Well, I guess the show would probably upload around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It's already started. I meant to watch an episode last night in advance of this conversation, but I didn't.
So yeah. This is the first time they're doing that kind of thing where they have like a daily.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I guess at some particular hour the show uploads and then you can watch it whenever you go to bed. You know, you don't have to wait for the late night talk shows to start at 11:30.
I think with certain segments of the population, Netflix is very popular. So right. I don't see if you go to it for your entertainment at night, why would you not do it on a daily basis?
Well, yeah. And I could see, you know, because we have a TV in our room that's just Apple TV only. So we can go ahead and throw on Netflix and, like, as we're, you know, get ready to zonk out for the night, just throw on that show if we like it or if that's something that we dig and watch it, you know, whenever we're ready. And I think that's where everything's going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's going to happen to the local news? I feel like in 10 years it won't even be a thing anymore.
It's so awful.
It's terrible.
It's so bad. It's terrible.
You would think everyone in the world was being murdered hourly if you watched the local news.
If there's an alien culture just watching our television broadcasts, I don't know. They think we're somewhere between half the world is Kardashian and half the world is getting killed.
They should just have the Grim Reaper come out and give the news. Death?
Yeah. Death.
What's going on in Orlando today?
Everyone died.
Death, 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 death. Oh, and here's a story that'll make you feel good, but we're only going to spend 30 seconds on that.
Right.
By the way, it's going to be hot as shit and possibly rain. Thank you very much.
And they still treat the forecast like it's this fucking revelation.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing. They're like, after the break, Tony Manolfi is going to tell us what's going on with the weather. It's like, I can click the thing on my phone. I don't need to sit through a commercial break.
It's Florida. Prepare to sweat just because you exist. Bring your sunglasses and your umbrella wherever you go.
No, but even the national news is not much better. The national news is just a bunch of people yelling. I mean, it's entirely fear-mongering. It's entirely based on pissing people off and getting them to watch longer.
And that brings me back to, I started watching The Truman Show last night. Have you ever seen this, Brian?
The Truman Show?
Yes.
No.
So it's Jim Carrey, and he lives in a bubble. And everyone else...
Seaside, Florida.
Is that what it was?
Seaside, Florida, yeah.
And everyone else, they're all actors. And so the whole show is about him. And it made me think of, one, how it's kind of foreshadowing for the NSA, because everywhere you look, there were cameras on this show. He had no idea. But so there's that. And then the other thing is they used fear tactics to keep him from
leaving.
So, like, he sat down at the travel agent, which was a thing in the 90s.
Right.
And there was...
For you kids, it's where you used to go before...
If you wanted to travel by rail, you went to the travel agent. And so there was a poster on the wall with a plane on fire. And it was like, have you considered the options? Or have you considered the risks? And it was like, terrorists, you know, fuel fire or lightning. Like, you know, it was all those things. And I was like, wow. You know,
that's kind of
what's happening now. Fear-based to keep everyone in check.
Man, well, I'm about to get on a plane tomorrow on Allegiant.
Again?
I mean, I hate to be fatalistic, but if it's your time, it's your time. What are you going to do?
The thing that gets me about a plane crash, and I know it's statistics and whatever, it's you're safer to fly, but the thing about like a car accident is that
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, you're not knowing you're going to die for 10 minutes.
On a plane crash, you're pummeling to your death.
Yeah.
Everyone's screaming and crying. You have no control in the situation.
I still think about it every time, on takeoff and landing. There's just that moment where I'm like, this could end bad.
Brian, you've landed in Knoxville one time.
Oh, well, actually, we were on the way to Knoxville for a Gator football game, and we were, for some stupid reason, we were following the tails of a hurricane that had moved up the central part of the United States.
Pilot was bored.
And we had to change planes in Atlanta, and when we landed in Atlanta, that thing went sideways.
Yeah.
Like the crosswind, it went sideways.
Oh, my God. Then did everyone scream?
Oh, yeah. And there was actually this girl on the aisle across from us who was there. Like, when we got up, in the meantime, we've landed, we pulled up to the gate where everybody, you know, you stand in line, you stand there for 20 minutes while everybody gets their carry-on crap off. And this poor girl was still in the crash position with her fingers, like, dug into the seat, like planes, trains, and automobiles, you know?
Have you ever been in a touch-and-go situation?
No.
Is that sexual?
You mean on a runway or with a woman?
No, on a runway.
Oh.
One time I landed in Memphis, the same thing happened. Right as the wheels were hitting the ground, the plane went sideways.
Oh.
And the pilot turned the thrusters back on, literally hit the back tires, and like rocketed back on. It was terrifying.
Wow.
Absolutely terrifying. And then they had to circle around and land again in the same weather. I mean, it was windy as hell.
Flight attendants to the cabin, again. Please, and so you guys bring diapers.
You guys have both had a similar situation where the plane went sideways while you
plane
were landing.
Sideways, right as you landed, a little.
I'm never flying again.
No.
Oh, my God.
I fly all the time. At this point, I'm not that worried about it. It's interesting because I do not get worried at all anymore when there's turbulence. At 0%. It used to freak me out, and now I couldn't care.
That's why they serve booze on planes. They don't tell you.
I just go to bed.
Well, one time my brother Billy Ruff tells a story. They were landing and they hit so hard, like people screamed, like the oxygen mask came down or whatever. But they obviously were okay and they were leaving. And this old lady was in front of them. And there as they were leaving, you know, the pilot standing there at the end. And the old lady looks up at him and she goes, "Did we land or did we get shot down?"
Oh, that's good. I gotta remember that. I know exactly how she felt since I got shot down this weekend.
Ah! Circle of life.
On that note,
comes back around.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we have to thank our wonderful producers this week.
Stuff.
We have a Twitter handle now.
Yes.
Oh, what
real
the,
one.
What the hell?
Adlib Podcast. Spelled like it sounds. None of that funky millennial stuff.
Underscores and whatnot.
No, just at Adlib Podcast. Find us on Twitter. We got to give thanks to our amazing producers this week, which were Galen Martin.
He remembers their names. Oh, yeah.
Galen is the wonderful person who does a lot of research for us, so we thank him.
And we've got Levy, last name, can't remember.
We do come prepared with facts. Okay.
Jardine.
Oh, that's right.
Jardine.
And Brianna, whose name I finally pronounced correctly. And her last name is
Pollard.
Pollard?
Pollard. Yeah.
Brianna Pollard.
Yep.
So thank you to the three of them.
Thank
for
you.
All their work.
Thank you, kiddos.
We will be back
next
week.
This and, go.
And we're gonna we have
cheers.
To we're gonna have to shoot what's left in our cups now. So
God almighty.
Here we go. Oh god.
Oh, you finished that?
Follow us at Adlib Podcast. I've been Yash.
I am Brian.
I'm drunk.
You've just wasted part of your day listening to this nonsense. Adlib is recorded and produced at Push Button Productions in downtown Orlando. Visit pushbuttonproductions.com. Sign up for the RSS feed and come back for more next week.